providence prepares a new generation, which is the future. And people who know what it is, who learn what this is, who try to live according to the way Hashem gave us that life. Now, do you know what's a Ger Toshav? This is a non-Jew living in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Jew Torah. A non-Jew living in Eretz Yisrael has to accept to live up to seven obligations. The seven mitzvot mandate. Which means, nobody is asking the non-Jew to have such a strict discipline as this. But that lends, by law of Torah, gives the right to live in it if you live up to your personal obligations. If you are a Jew, live up to Jewish obligations. If you are a Benoyach, live up to Benoyach. According to the Torah, you have not existed.
The Arabs keep the seven mitzvahs, because they're Muslim. The Muslim Arabs keep the seven mitzvahs.
I mean, maybe they keep, maybe they keep. I'm not.
If they are keeping,
a gesunden Bangkok.
If they keep the seven mitzvahs, then Khani is wrong.
I am not in politics, and I am not deciding here whether an Arab should live in Israel or a Jew should live in Israel.
No, but we...
What I am concerned is the way I should live. What I would like to see you concerned is to be concerned how you should live and forget the world. The world of Rabbeinu Shlomo will run anyway. I am not politically inclined...
You say we can ask any questions we want of you, and therefore we're asking...
Fine, so I am telling you, I'm answering you that question.
People
have a tendency, they want to know how the other person should live. I think we should want to know how we should live, each one of us. This is what I'm trying to teach you. I am not here for arguments, I am not here for discussions. I am trying to teach. And what I am trying to say, we should be concerned with how each one of us, my first concern is how I should live. Whether I can influence conditions or not, that's another question. But it's hard for you to understand when you learn more a little. You will see it. I am strange to you because it has taken me years to clarify this. Yes, please. 5 years ago. Let me tell you this. It says in Koheles, Ecclesiastes, are you familiar? It says the Creator has created the human being straight. And they have been searching for all kinds of calculations. What does it mean? And in that sentence, he starts out in singular, and he continues in plural. He says, the Creator has created the human being straight. And they, suddenly he's talking about a plural, and they have been looking out for all kinds of calculations. I'll tell you what this is. You should know that every social regulation or obligation has two sides to it. One side is the side of right, one side is the side of obligation. Two faces. You shall not steal. It's my obligation not to steal. It's my protection not to be stolen from. Is that clear? The question is, what is the right side and what is the left side? You know, a garment has a right. Is the right side the obligation and the left the rights, or is the right side the rights and the left the obligation? Is it clear what I say? Is the purpose of all social law that I should be an ethical person, that you should be an ethical person, you should be an ethical person? Or the purpose of the social law is that I should be protected, you should be protected, you should be protected? You have that question or not? Huh?
I tend to look more at protect my own value.
Yeah.
And let the other person protect you.
Values. Values I don't have to protect. Nobody can.
I'll protect my property.
Property. It so happens that there is a big, big difference. If I'm concerned about my obligations. It is an ethical concept. It's not a selfish concept, it's an ethical concept. Now, if each one of us would be concerned about our obligations, I wouldn't need to be protected. Neither one of us. But they have to be protected. On the other hand, if the law is here just for protection, we need a police force. Not only this. Who has to be protected? The strong or the weak? Who needs protection? The weak. How can he protect himself from the police? Therefore, that weak person who needs protection goes and he finds other people who are in the same weak position as he did. They unite, and then they are becoming a power. Then they are stronger than the strong. This is how labor creates unions. Because one laborage is nothing. But all together, we are power. Comes the manufacturer, and he has to do something, he has to protect himself. So he has a national association of manufacturers. Then we have what Marx told us. We have a classmate. Have the struggle of the classes. That would solve the problems? We don't know. We have strikes. We have unrest. It would be much more peaceful if it would be an ethical society. And that's what Ecclesiastes says. He says, the Creator has created the single, the human being, the individual, to live straight and correct. And then you wouldn't need any unions, you wouldn't need any fights, you wouldn't need any police force today, every mayor in the entire world claims it does not have enough, it doesn't have a budget enough for the police that he needs. Now, this is the Torah concept. The Torah concept is that what my ideal is, to live up to my obligations. But on the other hand, I know that I live in a society which not everyone is living up to those obligations. So I have also that secondary system that I have to protect myself. But when there are ethical concepts and ethical standards, we can live with a minimum police. When there are no ethical standards, there is no police enough. Each individual needs 10 policemen to protect them. Do I make myself clear? When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, the land was given to us for living in it correctly. Each and everybody living in that country is supposed to live up to his own obligations. If he's a Jew, the Jewish obligation. If he's a non-Jew, the non-Jewish obligation. Non-Jewish obligations are a minimum for a society to exist peacefully. Now, that's why I made a statement. I will find today, if you are talking about chasing the Arabs out of the country, there may be many Arabs who live up to their obligations. There are plenty of Jews who do not live up to that. Why should I say this? Why should I say that the land is reserved for the Jew because he was born a Jew? The land was preserved for the Jew who lives as a Jew. The difference between the Jew and the non-Jew in this land, that when the Jew lives up to his obligations, he is a citizen. The non-Jew lives up to his obligations, is a resident. That's the difference.
But in the modern state, they're
not. I am not talking about the modern state. The modern state didn't ask any shilas how the terror of. Are you understand? You're asking me about the terrorists. The terrorists are lying. But the fact is, the facts are different. I don't say that it's ideal. It's an ideal situation. It's not. And I'll tell you something. I live in Mattersdorf, and I really enjoy life here. You were Shabbos, the Shabbos you came to my house, right? Did you see people in the street when you came over there? Are those people happy? Now, that area is a totally observant area. I call it from Mattersdorf to Ezra Stern. I call it a black belt. And there's plenty of poverty on it. But it does not hurt the happiness. I was surprised. I had recently to do something with distribution of small funds to assist people who are short in their daily budget. And I was surprised that people, and they don't know that I know about it, I was surprised at the families that I was told that they need assistance. And those families are so happy. You saw the street, you saw the children. So there is nothing wrong with living that kind of life. And this is exactly how the theory commences.
Yeah. I mean, is it going to be possible to get everybody living that way?
Pardon?
Is it going to be possible to get everybody living that way? I mean, I agree with you that it's wonderful life, but I mean, maybe 30%
of the
theory...
Whether it's possible or not, I'll tell you. It is... You know what does the theory want from you? The application of it comes by itself, exactly. But we shouldn't be ignorant. We have a great theory to study. No. So let me tell you, what is normal? What is normal is that people, when they are young and they go to school, they are being supported. In order to help them establish themselves for life. Once they mature, they should be under 1 feet. Now, the Jewish preparation is a double. Non-Jewish preparation is just to be a productive element of society. Every person. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, that a professional gambler is disqualified as a witness in court because he is not a productive element, part of society. He takes, he's a parasite, he takes and doesn't give. A gambler. A tailor, whether he does it, I don't think a tailor's pens, in other people shouldn't go without pencils. I don't think that. He tailors pens in order to make a living. But he produces something. And each and every human being is a consumer and a producer, whether he knows it or not. Unless it's a gambler. People who invest, there are opinions to know whether he is productive or not. Because an investor, through his money, he contributes to production, but he himself is not producing. Then, in Gemara, there is a Rabbi Yehuda the Chacham talking about an investor. Now, it is normal that when a person is young, when he is in a child or in his early teenagers age, he has to prepare himself to become a productive element of society. And that's when his parents help him, that's when the government helps him, that he should be able to stand on his feet. A Jew has a double preparation. He's prepared to be a productive part of society, and is prepared also to live as a Jew, which means that after a day of work, he should be able to come home, open some Torah value and stuff. That's why we went to Cheder. We learned. But neither expected us to be all life sit and learn. And I think today is exactly the same. The problem is with people who are late starters. Somebody asked me, he's a doctor, he wants to sit and learn and make a problem for a couple of years. Should he do it? I told him you're entitled to it. Because in your childhood, you were not given the preparation as an adult to share your time between your profession and between your being a Jew. So catch up for 2 years like this. And then you're back to your profession. I mean, that's the Derech HaTorah. The Rambam, when Emmanuel has spoken a lot about this. That people should support themselves.
These people that study all day while their wives work, are they doing what they're
fine, doing? Fine, that's good. Well, if the wife is willing, the husband should learn, that's fine. He's becoming a greater man, there's no... No question about it. And especially when, as today, it's such a non-normal time in Jewish history. There are so much ignorance that there has to be some people who should be very wealthy. If not, our community is very poor. So if the wife is willing, not only winning, happy. I know a doctor in Esoterra, he's a South African. And during the day he learns Hebrew. At night he has his office hours in Esoterra. He's a very fine doctor. His wife came to complain that her husband is not learning enough. She would rather work a little more and he should take less time for his medical profession. Nothing has changed, he's doing the same, he goes on the same. And maybe the people she complained to, I was told by the man to whom she complained. But if there is a wife like this who has that kind of idea, it's wonderful. And the people are happy. And the man is going. There's a lot to learn. A great deal to learn. So there is nothing wrong. And I don't know, it was not, but this is of the miracles of our generation, that there are so many young girls who have an ambition to take. We didn't have it. I don't remember. And today I have sometimes girls from the Jacob Seminar come into my house. I can't get over their idealism for two. and they're preparing themselves now. They have a computer course, preparing themselves to support their husband. Come to husband.
It's all right for us men.
I know of a family in New York, in Brooklyn. It's a very unfortunate family. They have the Tay-Sachs. They were this. Three children died of it. Four children are surviving. And that lady wants to have more children. When I was in June, she was pregnant again. I hadn't heard anything from them. If there would have been some good event, I was not would have got you. You cannot. I am almost certain that some tragedy happened to that child. And she is growing on, and the drive to have children is so strong that you can't stop her. You have cases like this too. Human psychology is very deep. It's not for desk philosophers. And I'm finding we have, where I live, and my neighbor, I think it's the 14th child on the way. Young people. And they're happy. And the house is always clean. And it's quiet in the house. The children are trained to take care of each other. Not for the convenience, but the Jewish way is that a person is a giver, not a taker. Do I make myself clear? That my relation with the next person to me is not what I can get out of him, but what I can contribute to him, what I can give him. And those children are trained from the earliest. And there is so much love among the children. Have you noticed this in the street? Have you noticed that a little sister and a little brother are going hand by hand, huh? Have you noticed how they play? And this makes it pleasant. Greatest pleasure. I think we should stop here and I'll let you. I have no business with that.
Yes.
Well, this entire field is, I think, has nothing to do with that. Right. Yes, please.
Just today, in this room with Rabbi Malevsky, we were talking about Abraham and Lot.
Yes.
He said that, Lot and Abraham separated was because the commentators say that it was because of a disagreement they had about whether they could use the land of the Canaanites.
They didn't have any disagreement, but they, the shepherds.
Yeah. And he said that somehow it came out that Lot had the idea that simply because Hashem gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people, it was theirs, and the Canaanites had no right to the land at all, and they should be able, the Jews should be able to use all the land, whatever they wanted. But that Abraham understood that the Hashem giving the land of Israel to the Jews was conditional on the fact that they deserve it, that they had to deserve the land, and that if they didn't have the land, the Canaanites, it was because they didn't deserve it. And so, that Lot felt that the land of Israel belonged to the Jews, if they deserved it or not, it was simply theirs. But Abraham felt that the Jews must deserve the land in order to have the right to it, so that Abraham respected the right of the Canaanites to be there because the Jews didn't deserve that land. And that made me think of Kahane, who said that the Arabs should leave, because what Rabbi Moresti said would imply that Lot, in this case, would be very similar to Kahane, feeling that the Arabs or the Canaanites had no right, whatever.
I'll tell you. I'm at a loss here because I don't think our problem is Canaan. Our problem is to understand how to live as a Jew. That's our problem. That's what we are here for. This is a political problem. But I'll tell you, years ago, before I became so violent, people asked me about Kahane at that time, 10 years ago. I said, and it was in America. In America, in comparison with the Jewish establishment over there, which is also trying to run the Jewish people. So I told them, a vehicle without a motor is a dead vehicle. Without brakes is a dangerous one. Did you hear what I said? Now, what I meant, it's not our problem. Because this is Yiddishkeit, Jewishness, is consisting in teaching us how to live in this world. I don't think surroundings, because we spoke about it not long ago, about the question of free will. That free will, every person has the free will to behave ethically or unethically within his own circumstances. I cannot dictate, it's not within my free will to dictate that I should be wealthy. Maybe if I am wealthy, I can make myself poor. But if I am poor, to make myself wealthy, it's not within my means. But on the other hand, when I am wealthy, I have the freedom of choice how to behave in an ethical way or in an unethical way. If I am poor, I also have the same. We cannot create conditions but we are free to behave ethically within the condition that we are. Is that clear? Now, whether I join a Kahane or I don't join Kahane, this is a tendency to create conditions. Sometimes I have to, definitely, if there are elections, I must probably have an obligation to myself and to the community to try to elect people who will guide us correctly, more correct than others. I understand. But our problem, the first problem, is to teach ourselves how to live in this world that Hashem created for us and placed us here.
According to the way He told us to live.
Pardon?
According to the way Hashem told us to live.
Yes.
Is Kahani within the bounds of that, or is it without the bounds? I don't know.
But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something which I heard in the name of a very wise person who said, here's a question. The question is, according to Rashi, nothing false can exist unless it has a grain of truth. Now you found it. He says, where is the grain of truth of a political party? How does it exist? He says he has an answer. What's the answer? He says whatever one political party says about the other is true. Yeah, with Kahana it's definitely like this. Whatever criticizes other people, not whatever, in most cases, but it doesn't mean that his positive is positive. But I think we have the way I look at ourselves is a person is flying a plane and he starts to push it. The plane will fly anyway whether you push it or not. We are trying to change conditions. And I don't know whether we can. The history right now is going so fast and is full of surprises that I don't think we can influence it. And we are wasting our time. I leave Kahane, tell us again, we are going. It doesn't bother me. I leave.
You prefer not to see him be around, but if he's around, let him be.
No, I would have wished, and I was hoping the time he was elected, that he'll behave in a calm way, and he'll balance out some wrongs, which are, and there are plenty of wrongs in the way the government is done. But instead of this, he started a fight and is not balancing out. He helps very little.
Didn't the Talmud recognize the right of Gentiles to live in Israel, laws, inheritance, property,
I'll tell you,
land?
According to the Torah, there are plenty of Jews today in Israel which are not supposed to be here. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
The, Let me explain. We have to realize the entire concept. The Torah concept. Children are being given toys. Not that it should produce anything, not that it should do anything. Is a child, we give him a toy to play on. But adults, if we give adults something, it is for a purpose. They have to produce. If a man comes to me and I have to help him out, he's in trouble. I give him something. I don't help him much, but at least for the time being. But if I establish him in business, I have done something. I give him something that he can use, that he can make it produce. Now, the idea of brachas. What is a bracha? You take a piece of bread, before you eat it, you say, Hamayti lechem in haaretz, right? You take a potato, before you eat it, you say, very pleased. What's the meaning of all this? The meaning of all this is that I am not just taking it, it's given to me. There is somebody here who gives it. We are so used to take things for granted. That somebody would think that potatoes grow in Machna Yehuda. He goes over there and buys the potatoes, so then he comes. But they grow in the vegetable store. How does a potato come to exist? Try to start thinking. The marvel of that potato, we don't know what it is. We put in some seed or a potato in the ground, and after some time we have a field of potatoes. Now, it's not done by itself. Somebody engineered it. And that engineered it for us. What should we do with it? For what purpose was it given to us? I'm not talking about the potato, I'm talking about my lungs. Put my lungs in. What for? Is it just a toy that you screw around and play with it? Or it's given to me for something, for a purpose? Do I use it for that purpose? Huh? Is it clear what I say? Huh? Now, if we are talking about a potato, like this, how's about a country? How's about a land? You know, I make the brocha ha-moitzi lecha min ha-ochas. You know how to translate it? We thank the Creator, the one who produces bread out of the earth. You know what it means? For a potato, is the one who created food of the soil. But for bread, I have a special formula, the one who produces bread out of the ground. You know what it means? I'll give you an illustration. And this is an unusual case. There is a man in London by the name of Jackie Levinson. Here's that. Jackie Levinson is an unusual person. Do you know about Jackie Levinson? How do you know? Pardon?
You can stay in the top if you need a place to sleep.
Right. How did you know? It's very famous. The man has a house in London, in his own house, but it's a big house. And it's open to guests. Anyone who passes by, you can go in over there, you'll find a bed to sleep. You'll find, as you go into the kitchen, you'll find food. It's very interesting. And it's not a legend. I was in the house. I was visiting. And here is... You know about it too. I mean, it's very famous. The story goes about a man who came into the house and he was sitting over there for about 3 weeks already, and he feels already bad. And he says, another man sitting over there, and they're eating together, and he says to him, I feel bad, I'm already here for 3 weeks, and I am enjoying hospitality, and I don't pay. So the other one said, don't worry, I am here for years already. Was the boss. It was Jackie himself. But that's that. Now, Jackie Levinson has prepared in his house. You can walk in, the door is open. You can walk in. I know of some people here in Yerushalayim who decided to take a vacation. I went to London and to his house. I know people like this.
The whole time.
Huh?
The whole vacation.
Yeah. And he was staying over there for a week or 10 days and came back. Pardon? Pardon?
Does he have a lot of money?
He is very wealthy. Very wealthy. He is a wealthy... He's a wealthy hotel and real estate man in London.
Does he place a hotel?
Huh?
Do you stay in a hotel when you go?
Do I stay in a hotel?
But when you go and stay with him, will you get a hotel room?
No, you go into the house and you stay over there. I didn't stay at his house, but I came to visit him. I met him in Los Angeles. But he has a sign on his house. The sign of his house is number 10 Ponivus. He was very close with the Ponivus of the Chandra, and he's very close to the Ponivus Yeshiva. So the house number is number 10 Ponivus. So now imagine if Jackie has to go away for 3 years and he leaves the house open. Can he leave food enough for guests for 3 years? The only way he would be able to do it, if he's an inventor and he invents that the walls should produce food perpetually, if not, he can't. Now, we have been given a place to live, that's this earth. And Hashem has provided that the same place where we stay to live is producing for us bread and producing vegetables. And we thank Him for giving us this kind of a hotel that produces food for us. We have been placed someplace. Now, if all this was given for us, most probably it's not at all, we have to do something. Now, come to the land of Israel. The land of Israel was given, was promised to Abraham, was given to his children for what? When I read in Chumash, when I say Shema, I read in Chumash and it says, tells me that that land was given to you in order that you can carry out your Jewish obligations. And it says, if you will not carry it out, you lose the land. You lose it. That's how it says. Now,
how would you explain the military success of the secular Zionists?
Huh?
How would you explain the military success of the secular Zionists?
I'll tell you. Let me tell you, it says all in prophets. It says in prophets. And if you have an objection to what I say, please say it. What's that? You make me laugh too, you know.
You'll hear the judge when you play back
the tape. Pardon?
You'll hear the judge when you play back the tape.
Yeah.
We started when we were out of the room and we can't stop laughing.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to. I don't need to not take seriously what you're saying.
I can promise you that I understand what I try to. It says in prophets that our mother Rachel was praying for us. And she was promised the people will come back from the land of the enemy. People will return from the land of the enemy. And a second promise, and you have a future. Children will come back to their land. And what it means, pardon?
Of the enemy, exactly what does that mean?
Yeah.
The Gentile world.
No, wait a minute. What it means is very simple. You should know the secular Jew. What does Jewishness mean to you? A problem. A problem, the Jewish tag is a problem to the secular Jew. He has nothing positive out of being a Jew. And on the other hand, he feels that he is a stranger in the family of nations. And wherever he is a stranger.
Religious Jew doesn't feel a stranger?
Pardon?
The religious Jew doesn't feel any differently? Doesn't feel like he's a stranger?
We'll come to it. But I say, the only thing that a secular Jew has of his Jewishness is his problem of being a Jew. And he is trying to solve that problem. It so happens that nobody has solved it yet. In Germany, there was a lot of assimilation, really a lot of assimilation, intermarriage. And for some time, the assimilated Jew felt as 100% German. And he tried to forget that he was a Jew. Came Hitler and reminded him. And Moscow away. And Hitler dug out people who had the third of the third generation Jews. And he dripped them as Jews. Before Hitler, such a surprise happened in France. Until the French Revolution, Jews were treated all over the world as strangers, kept in ghettos, treated as people who have no rights, abused in all kinds of ways, whether the church did it. It was mostly during the Middle Ages with the Christian Church, the Catholic Church. There have been times when the Islam did it. And Jews knew that they don't know why, as a matter of fact, until the French Revolution, the Jews knew why. They paid a price for it, but they got something. Then came the French Revolution and broke the ghettos open. Many of the average Jew who did not have a strong hold on to his ideal as a Jew became drunk with that feeling it was given to him. And just as an explosion, after pressure, turned the other way, and they assimilated. France was the first one by assimilation, and then Germany. Because it started the French Revolution. And when the Jews in France felt that they're Frenchmen and nothing else. The story of life is that.
Yeah.
Very little.
Oh, what about with Alexandria?
That's...
That was final
and... No, that's... I'm not talking about that.
Oh, you're talking about
modern. Yeah. I'm talking about the Middle Ages. That's not the Middle Ages, for example. Alexandria was... Jewish history, but... Alexandria was the same. And Alexandria was an outgrowth of the Hellenism, which... Yeah, that was...
Right.
But I'm talking about the Middle Ages. I was not going that far back. No, I wasn't going that far back. But in the Middle Ages, Jews were Jews. There's no question.
What about
that's...
Shapsitri.
Yeah, what about that? Yeah, that's... all right. I'll tell you this. But this is already...
But that's not the Middle Ages.
Yeah, that must be 1700, but this was not assimilation. No, it was not assimilation. It ended up as assimilation. It was nationalism. It was nationalism. Right. That was... Today happens the same thing. that the strong nationalists are the first to assimilate. No, messianic idealism is nationalism. All right. I'll explain to you again. That's it. But let me continue. I'll explain to you. So there have been the people who tried to solve the Jewish problem with assimilation had disappointments, great disappointments. Dreyfus was a disappointment. And Raoult writes at the Dreyfus affair was the one who motivated Herzl to his Zionistic philosophy. Herzl was a reaction to Dreyfus.
In Europe, this school, Lovers of Zion, that came before Herzl, in Europe.
Where?
In Eastern Europe, it was not the old one. They didn't have school for Zionists called Fauvé.
Not Zionists.
So it grew from Herzl only.
Herzl is. The Achadon was much later. There had been secular Jews at that time in Eastern Europe. They called themselves the Enlightenment. Maskilim. But the Zionist idea took shape through Herzl, and it was a reaction to anti-Semitism, which he was surprised with that anti-Semitism. It cannot be a German or an Austrian as any Austrian, because a Jew in France cannot be a Frenchman like any Frenchman. A Jew in Austria, in Vienna, cannot be an Austrian like any Austrian. So we have to do something. And he came to the idea of a terror. And territory was not necessarily Israel. Not necessarily Israel. Yes. And the only thing, you know why it was voted in Basel for as a soul and not for a candidate? You know why? I'll tell you why. Tell you a story. A man comes in to a synagogue in America. He has to see the Shamish. Shamish says, what is? He says, I have a proposition for the Shamish. He says, I have $1 million for the Shamish. He says, what do you want me to do? He says, I want very, very easy. You just introduce in school that whenever the people have to say Amen, they should say Pepsi Cola instead. And it's very smart, because that's the only way to sell Pepsi Cola, is when the people, Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola, then they sell Pepsi Cola. Now, they had an idea, they had to sell to the people, they had to raise funds. They had to get support for the people. There was no better Pepsi Cola than Eretz Yisrael. Because the Jews historically said 3 times a day, a Jew is saying in his prayers, please let our eyes merit to see your coming back to Zion. So Zion is the Pepsi Cola of itself. It would have been the biggest stupidity of making propaganda for a gambler. It wouldn't sell. Eretz-Yisrael soul. But the ideal was not the Eretz-Yisrael, the ideal was the territory, because at that time, that was one of the, maybe because we have no land, we have no territory, we are strangers. If we'll have a territory, and we'll have our ambassadors all over, we will not be strangers. But they decided it's going to be Eretz. Now, there are two people who are figured. Herzl figured, and the Almighty also figured. Somebody had to build up that. So let us build it up. But the people who came and the people who built that country. I have seen the people in Poland who came here, the first Halusim who came to build the country. And those Halusim built great ideas. Yes. Great idea. And they came to build. Now our mother Rachel says to Ben Shalom, that's fine, they will build up a country, but that ideal isn't okay. They have no future.
Well, why isn't that? I mean, they're going to be living in that country, just as everybody else in that country wants to keep their country nice and build it up. I mean, so the people living in Israel would want to do
now, the people who like to be in Israel are the people who are becoming rich. Everybody else dreams about the land. And it's no wonder. Because as physical values, America is often much more. And we have so many. LA, Los Angeles, is invaded by Israelis. Benjamin, right? New York. And how? And not only this. One of the Israeli experts is criminal, too. You know about this?
What was this?
Huh? Now that's what was my future. They built up the country. And a job to build up the country. So you know what's happening. What's happening that now the immigration to Israel are only religious. They are the only ones who have a motivation to come to Israel.
They didn't come over to the country for the love of the country. They came over because when the state of Israel was established, they were kicked out of Iraq, they were kicked out of Morocco, they were kicked out of Eastern countries. But when they came over, they did not come with the love of Israel. They came because they had nowhere else to go. They couldn't cover up without Israel for them. Now these people are going to New York, these people are going to Los Angeles, but the children, not only the groups of kids and the children, these are the children of the Mizrahi and
I'm talking about the people that were here before 48. The 600,000 people, the United States, the issues.
Yeah, I'll tell you. The first about the Yemenites.
A lot of them, they came with their lives. If you look, you see what's here now. They are not dying. They're prosperous.
That's why they maintain the values. This is why they maintain the values. You know that in the 30s, those kibbutzim were demonstrating and picketing any parishan who took in an Arab. You remember? But now they are using that. Not now they are using Arabs, they are using tourists who are coming for cheap labor. Yeah. And they are becoming rich, they are becoming wealthy. They are the ones I said before. The wealthy ones held on to the country. Now when you are talking, they were picking, but when you are talking about the Moroccans, the Yemenites.
Yeah.
I assume that you don't know what happened to their children. How their children... So, and those are the children who are leaving the country now, and those are the children who provide the mafia level. But they are a product of the Zionist philosophy. But they have been exploited. And that's a different story. That's a different story. But and the prophet says that there will be what I see in the prophet is when you build a house and first you have the crew is coming to the foundation. Then you have another crew is coming to fix up the skeleton. Then the plumbers are coming, then the prison is coming. The crews are changing. And it seems that here in Eretz Yisrael, crews are changing too. And the people today who are motivated in Eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, I'm not talking about the Vatikim who sit here and have grown fat on this land. That's a different story. But the one who has the motivation to come, not the one who is being pulled in. The Ethiopians were brought in order to make campaigns for money with them. And now when they are lost, and they